chapter 20. We'll read a longer passage, so you can feel free to stay seated. I'll have you stand, and when I emphasize the text. Matthew chapter 20, a very familiar parable. But we'll be able to place a special emphasis now, if you would follow, please, as I read beginning in verse 1. The Bible says here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto him, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, that were hired, about the 11th hour, they came first, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Those of you who can, you may stand as I read the text for the 6th and verse 7. "And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto him, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that so ye receive." I'll be speaking for a few minutes tonight on that topic of the 11th hour. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless now your servant as he gives now your word. I pray, Father, you would help each person now tonight to hear with his spirit-filled ears from you tonight and from your spirit. May he give us now complete liberty and freedom to express now your desire and your message. I pray, Father, that you would allow us to close out this conference on one that has a sense of urgency, Father, please. We're excited, Father, for what you are doing. We see around the world your hand is apparent. And Father, we look to you for guidance. We look to you for power. We look for you for wisdom. And Father, please, empower us to do your bidding, to go into the vineyard. And we thank you, Father, for the promise that you will make all things right. I pray, Father, that you would, as you always do, fulfill your promise to your servants tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we are truly living in exciting times today. The harvest of the world, to seek and to save that which was lost, has always been on the forefront of God's mind.
through the years, He has gone into the marketplace of His redeemed and has gathered laborers to go into His harvest. The time of the harvest has been long. Today, though, the shadows of the evening are beginning to be cast. He is still calling laborers today, but there seems to be something different than it was even just a decade ago. The minutes are ticking by. The hour is starting to grow late. Could this be the 11th hour? It is true that God is manifesting Himself in some very unique and special ways today. Those in difficult fields are reporting more conversions now than in many past years combined. It's exciting. The Bible does also speak in Romans 8 about the world of all creation groaning and travailing in pain until Christ's return. Have you noticed the events that seem to be taking place? Seems like it's one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it seems like it's getting more and more rapid. As the Bible has compared to a woman in travail, until her time comes, that will be steadily increased until Christ returns. Although we cannot know the hour of His coming, we can perceive the signs of His return. The world is changing. Could it be the 11th hour? In Ephesians chapter 5, Christ admonishes us to see that we walk circumspectly, cautiously, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And if they were evil during the first century, where are we today? Could it be that we are living in the 11th hour? We look at the parable here today, and from the first sentence we quickly understand the purpose and the potential application of this parable. It is one of the parables that the Lord is revealing to us what the kingdom of heaven will be like. I want us to quickly to go over the parable in order to get the proper context. We see, first of all, that the householder has, first of all, an incredible task before him. It is harvest time. And the fruit of the harvest must be taken in. It is a labor intensive task. It mattered not what the credentials were of the laborers that went. It didn't matter if they were talented, energetic, or experienced. He needed laborers. He needed people that would be able to be willing to go where needed. God needs everybody today. No one needs to say, well, maybe I'm inexperienced, or maybe I'm too old or too young, or maybe I don't have it all together. I don't know if I'm qualified or not. No, God needs you. He has created you for that particular purpose and plan. He's got a special niche between that you can fit in here in the body of Christ, where God has you to fit right in, where your gifts, your talents, your abilities fit right here in the local church in order to be able to reach this area and in the world for Christ. All attention was focused on the harvest. An incredible task. There also seemed to be a great urgency about the task and had to be brought in at the right time. Perhaps there was a storm that was coming And it would destroy now this ripe fruit. There seemed to be a sense of urgency about the householder there. I remember in the wheat fields of Kansas where I grew up, there will be times of the year around harvest time when certain storms will start to come in and everyone will run to the fields. I remember one vividly in my mind. We had a horrible storm that was coming. We were going out preparing and helping, and I was one of the hands just trying to be able to make everything happen. And I remember as we were driving up on just on a little bit of a knoll, I mean, in Kansas, that's a mountain, just a little bit of a hole, a knoll here. You just get up on a little hill, and you could see several of the towns out that are out there. But I remember looking at a huge field. It was, the sky was black behind it. The storm was coming. And I'll never forget, four of the largest combines you've ever seen were stacked right behind each other, trying to get that field done quickly. There was an urgency. An urgency. It was interesting, the owner of the vineyard himself went at different times throughout the day. It was a 12-hour day. It's interesting, it's the same culture that they have there in the Middle East as we do in East Africa. We have Arabic culture there, and we have basically a 12-hour day. 6 in the morning to 6 at night. Even in Swahili, 7 o'clock in the morning, ni saa moja, the first hour. And goes all the way until the end. A 12-hour day. So, the owner of the vineyard, he goes out first thing 6 o'clock in the morning, the beginning of the Jewish day. Then at 9 o'clock, he went out there at the third hour. At the noon hour, 6 o'clock, the sixth hour, he went. And then at the ninth hour, at 3 p.m., he went out. And then strangely, he went out at the 11th hour, at 5 o'clock. Now, these 11th hour workers were very unique in the fact that it was a very odd time for one to seek employment. There was only 1 hour left. As well, it was very an odd time for anyone to hire them. There was just 1 hour left. Truly, there was an urgency at this time. The harvest was needed to be brought in, and these were there at that time available to help. We see also the owner was a very kind master. He promises the first group that came at 6 o'clock in the morning, he made a promise with them and made an agreement with them that it would be for a what? A penny. And notice, every other group after that, he made no such promise. He just simply said, whatever is right, I will give thee. And he urged them towards the fields of the vineyard. Interesting, he used the words, go ye. Where have we heard those words before? And finally, we see a generous reward given to the laborers. Each laborer was given what was right in the master's eyes. Now, there was indeed some disagreement about what was right. But we quickly learned that the only opinion that really mattered was the just and gracious action of the master of the vineyard. That quickly is the background, the parable. Now let's get into the application. First of all, the interpretation, I believe, is that there's many different applications, but I believe, first of all, the interpretation is that this parable here is in answer to a question that Peter brought up the chapter before. If we will look there in chapter 19, beginning in verse 27, Peter asks a question. Then Peter answered Peter and said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I wonder if the Lord Jesus, knowing Peter's heart at that time, could he sense maybe there was a spirit of a hireling in his heart? You say, preacher, what was a hireling? A hireling was one that works with selfish motives. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? He can care less about the master. He can care less about the task at hand. What's in it for me? That's the hireling. Jesus' response, as we read in verse number 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. What did Pastor just talk about? He talked about not being able to be with his grandkids sometimes. But you know what? God's given him a whole lot of grandkids here. God will give the grandkids over there a whole lot of grandparents. Now, God works all these things out. The main thing is that we do what God wants us to do. And the Bible ends there in verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And if I could put it and paraphrase it a little bit, I believe Jesus' response was, Peter asked, what are we going to get? What's in it for us? What are we going to have? I believe the Lord was saying, well, Peter, what are you in it for? If you're in it for just a reward, you'll be paid. Yeah. God will be no one's debtor. But when the rewards of God are given out, it may not necessarily be given according to the judgment of man. Jesus was saying, Paul, Peter, my concerns are on the harvest. Where are your concerns? Where are your priorities, Peter? Peter, if you're just a hireling, you'll get your due reward. However, if your concern is for the harvest, Peter, I will be more than gracious and will bless you abundantly. But Peter, where is your heart? I believe that to be the primary interpretation. And isn't that even applicable a little bit for us today? Where is our heart? Our focus should be on Jesus, and the focus should be on the harvest. Amen. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. We are to look unto Him. Jesus was always trying to get the disciples to lift up their eyes. Keep your eyes off yourself. Keep your eyes off everyone around you. Lift up your eyes. Lift them up. Lift them up. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. Pastor quoted this earlier in the conference. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy on us. Our eyes are to be Him, upon Him, looking unto Him. Wherever He would have us to go, we'll do it. All you need to do, Father, is gesture, I'll go. All you need to do is just hint, I'll go. There's many people that they want an absolute Pauline Damascus Road crisis experience before they do anything for God. They thank God that God saved them. And they thank God that we have grace that's abundant. Amen. And they're not hyper-Calvinist when it comes to salvation. Praise the Lord. But when it comes to service, they become hyper-Calvinists. God better force me and coerce me. We are to be looking unto Jesus. May our eyes be upon Him, and then our heart will be where His heart is. On the harvest. It must be on the harvest. Could this be the 11th hour? I would like to bring just some observations I believe that this parable will help us to understand, and bring just a couple applications, and then we'll close it this evening. I would like to first of all make an emphasis that the Master Himself did the calling of the laborers. He did not use His steward, which would be the normal procedure. He did it Himself. I think that's special. And just like today, it is God Himself, through the third person of the Godhead, through His Holy Spirit, that personally calls us and leads us into His harvest. What a privilege. What a privilege. We have such a great, wonderful commission of go ye, go ye. He says, go ye, and whatever is right. You know, He'll take care of us. It doesn't matter if you work through the entire heat of the day or if you work just 1 hour. It matters not. God's going to bless. He's going to help. And if your focus is on the harvest, you know what? The rewards are secondary. As long as the harvest is brought in. It was interesting that no one was to be idle. You notice every time he would go to the marketplace there and he found a group of people that were idle. Hey, no one was supposed to be idle. The focus was on the harvest. No one to be idle. Let's go. He has an expectation for us all to be active and attentive towards the harvest. The Bible does talk about idle hands, idle feet, idle words, idle people who were tattlers and busybodies speaking things which they ought not. Kind of sounds like social media, doesn't it? Yeah. But, you know, idle. God doesn't want anyone being idle. It's all to be active. Concentration on the harvest. That's one thing that this whole COVID thing, I believe, has brought so much destruction to the church. It has been used of the devil for a lot of purposes, and one of which is to make God's people idle. Give them an excuse to be idle. May God help us to see the importance that we're all to be active. The Master's calling. He's coming Himself. He wants you. Go ye, and whatever is right, He'll give you. Second observation quickly is that at every time the Master went, or we could even say at every age, God has laborers in going into His harvest. God is never stops calling. He's always calling. I believe some people take the text too far and compare it to the timing in life where people get saved. At different times in their life. I believe that takes it a little bit out of context. I don't think God goes into the marketplace of the world to get His laborers. No. I believe He goes into the marketplace of the redeemed, of believers. He goes into the church today and looks for His. But I believe it comes at different time periods. Did you realize that every time the Master went, there were some that were available that weren't available before? And those that made themselves available were called and went. I believe that's a little bit into the interpretation of that last verse. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has called us all. The problem is, not everyone has made themselves available for God to use. God wants us available. I think another observation is that God has His own way of measuring what we do. He will reward every worker without a doubt. That's true. God will be no one's debtor. But He rewards not in the way that we may think. He's divine. He's perfect. He's omniscient. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He will not, here's some things that He will not reward for. He will not reward us according to time spent or surface covered in the vineyard. That could be for personal boasting. Hey, yo, see this? Yeah, here. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was me. No. There's not going to be any boasting in heaven. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Oh yeah. It's everything that we do is always of grace. He will not reward according to the amount of work done, no matter how impressive it may look in man's eyes, for that can be done in the flesh. You know, you can do some things for God in the flesh. For sometimes the wrong motives. Sometimes we do it to be seen of men and not for the glory of God. We are rewarded, though, according to the task that He's given to us. Are we the Christian He desires us to be? Are we truly living in the Spirit, yielded to His will, trusting in His strength and provision? Are we putting forth the effort of rearing our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are we managing our households properly and honestly, lovingly? Are we actively laboring for Him and for His glory? Are we being faithful to the task that He has given to us? Faithful to the portion of the vineyard He has showed us to work in? Are we doing the job He has asked us to do? I think it's also important that we notice that He will not reward according to our ability. He works in each life individually. God is a very fair God. He does, though, give different amount of talents, as, by the way, as in the parable of the talents, He gives different amounts to different people. Why? I don't know. He's sovereign. He's God. He knows why. Some may have more than others. But that does not mean that they will get more rewards. It just means that there's a lot more responsibility. Some may be more talented. Some may be more gifted than others. But God has it all calibrated out and will give each person according to their potential that He's given to them. Are we reaching the potential that He has designed for us to reach? That's why it's important that we don't start looking around, well, I'm doing more than him, or I'm doing more than him, I'm doing that. We don't compare ourselves to anyone out here. We compare ourselves to here. Amen. We allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Now, believe me, if you surrender yourself and open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, He'll let you know. That still small voice sometimes isn't so still and small. If we allow Him to speak to our hearts, He'll help us. Unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. He will reward in proportion to what we have received. Are we using everything He has entrusted us? Are we being and doing all that we should? He will not reward us according to our successes or non-success. Some of us can have perceived successes. But those things were done for man's glory, perhaps.
Oh, how we need to be careful that we do according to the potential He's given to us. But what will He reward for? Here's a couple things I believe He will reward for. He will reward us according to our desire toward Him. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Let me ask you, what are your desires? Do you desire Him? Do you desire to do His will? Do you desire to please and honor Him? He will reward accordingly. Do you delight in laboring for Him? He will reward according to our love for Him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, here's a blessing, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Did you catch that last phrase? God will manifest himself. You know, that's one thing that kind of bothered me when I was younger. I was trying to live what's right and try to be holy unto God and holy unto Him. And some people would come and say to me, oh, that's legalistic. They said, God can't love you any more than anyone else. So you just do the best you can and just leave it. I think this whole holiness stuff, I believe one day when we get to heaven, God's going to look at us and say, you took that holiness way too far. Seriously? You think a thrice holy God, that is the same God of the Old Testament, is going to look at us and the way our lifestyles are and the way we are today and say, you took the holiness way too far? I don't think so. But let me tell you, this verse is a perfect rebuttal for that. God will manifest Himself unto you more. He that loveth me and keepeth my commandments, God will return, shower him with love, and will manifest himself. To allow God to manifest himself more unto me. To reveal himself and his person more to me. Oh, what a great learning experience we have. To draw closer to him. To obeying his commandments and being more holy. And him manifesting more. And we take another step in our holiness and he manifests himself more. Oh, what a blessing. You know, the angels around the throne of God, they are not going around crying, grace, 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 or love, love, love. What are they saying? He will reward us according to our faith in him. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boy, there's a lot of preach there, but thank God for faith. He wants to have our faith in him. He will reward us according to our labor and prayer. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, what happens? Receiveth. And he that seeketh, and he that knocketh, shall be opened. Amen. Are we laboring in prayer for him? He will reward us according to our investment in his work. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So the question is, as we go back to what I even showed this earlier, all attention is supposed to be on the harvest. Where are our desires? Where's our focus? Everything was focused on the harvest. The master did not delegate his responsibility. He invested in his personal time and his resources for the harvest. As the day progressed, the urgency increased.
The harvest must be brought in. Every time you went to the marketplace, more people were made available. They made themselves available. Come, come, go ye into the harvest. Whatever is right, I will make it right. Even up until the 11th hour. Still more work to be done. Still an urgency that is there. Perhaps there was a storm approaching, and they made themselves available. Something's got to be done. We can see the storm coming. We can see the signs coming. We can see the harvest is not yet in. Let's make ourselves available. They made themselves available. The Master came. Go ye. And whatever's right. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Remember, no one was to be idle. It was the 11th hour. See then that you walk circumspectly again. Redeeming the time. The days are evil. How are we utilizing our time? How are we serving the Lord? Is there a spirit of hireling in us? What are we going to get? What's in it for me? Are we doing all for the glory of God? Are all of our resources, all of our energy at the Master's disposal? Are we making ourselves available? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's the 11th hour. Let's go into the harvest field. Let's make ourselves available. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your time this evening that You've given to us, and of course, once again, for the sweet attention of Your people. And Father, I do pray that You would bless now as we close out the missions conference. There's a theme that must be completely accepted by every member of First Baptist Church. And that theme is at most complete surrender. Yieldedness to whatever You have for them to do. I pray, Father, that You would manifest Yourself now to each one. I pray, Father, that You would make Yourself very clear in personal application to each one. Father, as You have even spoken to me in my heart, as I've made preparation for this evening, that You would make individual application in each heart as You show them this is their part of the vineyard. This is some of the talents and abilities I've given You. Here's some of the abilities and the spiritual gifts. And here's what I have for you. The problem is there's so many Christians that are still in the marketplace. They haven't made themselves available to Your service, Father. I pray, Father, that You would help that soul tonight that is redeemed to make themselves fully and completely available to Your service, whatever that may be. Father, help them to go, help them to put their resources in priority. Help them put their time in priority. Give them proper stewardship of all the things that You have bestowed upon them and You have given unto them to use for Your will and for Your purpose. I pray, Father, You would help us now tonight as we close to have such unity in this church and such a surrendered, unified heart that You can't help but manifest Yourself just a little bit more to this church in order for it to make an impact that it needs in this area and ultimately the world through Your servants here. I pray You would bless now in our time of decision, our invitation time. In Jesus' name. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed.